Blog Talk Radio.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, He amid the flood of mortal wills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not His equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same. And He must win the battle.
Good afternoon, dear saints, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. Well, in my neck of the woods, it's raining, it's chilly, it's cold, it's dreary, but I am happy to be with you right at this precise moment, because we're going to be talking about things eternal, things of eternal value, things that we ought to ponder and think about and consider as we, the remnant church, go about doing the Master's business. And we have to be busy, my dear brothers and sisters. In these last days, we have just got to be busy doing our work for the Lord. Remember, saints, that this coming month, or in this month rather, in the month of May, we have a tentative release date for the next book, Draconian Tsunami, and that is Saturday, Saturday, May 13th. And I say tentatively because I'm praying, I'm believing, I'm waiting on God. That's the date that I set. Now I'm confirming that with the Lord if he would have me release it on that date. Saturday, May 13th. Also, don't forget that this coming Friday, we're going to be here in studio. When I say we, Sister Marie and myself, and she has just started a riveting study on the army, Satan's army in the last days, Satan's army. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, when you read about the dragon in Revelation 12, when you read about the dragon, the dragon is going to persecute the remnant of the woman's seed. It's going to persecute the remnant of the woman's seed. Now, some believe that that remnant is a Jewish remnant. Others believe that it is a church remnant. Well, whatever interpretation you embrace, whatever interpretation you have, you hold to be true, the key is that the dragon is going to persecute some remnant. And my brothers and sisters, when the dragon persecutes some remnant, it's not actually going to be Satan. It's going to be his army, his players on the earth, his militant people in the earth. They're going to do the dragon's bidding. They're going to do the dragon's bidding. So Satan has an army. Just like God has an army marching through the land. You've heard that song, right? God's got an army marching through the land. Well, Satan's got an army that's going to be marching through the land. And Sister Marie has introduced us to this group called the Society of Jesus, also known as the Jesuits. And they're one bloody group. They are one bloody, militant, draconian group. And she's going to be bringing more to us as to who this group is, what is their history, who's their founder, how the organization got started, what they believe in, what are their doctrines, what are their tenets, and ultimately how they will play a role in this end time persecution that Satan is going to promote throughout the earth. So you don't want to miss Friday, Eastern Standard Time here in the United States at 7 p.m. Want to greet all of our listeners from Norway. We get a bulk of people tuning in from Norway. We get people from England, Germany, Canada, people from Africa, parts of Africa, different parts of Africa, the Caribbean. Well, I just want to greet you in the precious name of the Lord, and I want to welcome you. I also want to welcome all of the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops who are tuning in but are afraid to call in. The call-in number is 646-564-9730. Again, here's the number, fellas, for those of you jackasses, hee-hawing jackasses who are members of the Joint College of Hee-Hawing Bishops. The number here is 646-564-9730. I might, who knows, today one of them might call in. One of them might regain their courage. And, you know, there is an Aesopian fable where there was a jackass who did find a lion's skin and put it on, and for a while thought he was a lion, and he started to roar, I'm a lion. The jackass thought he was a lion because he put on a lion skin. Well, maybe these bishops, instead of wearing their Roman purple cassock and their other garments, their skull caps, and their pectoral cross and their bishop's ring, You know, that amazes me. How can you get a bishop's ring on a jackass's hoof? I never figured how does a jackass get a Episcopal ring on his hoof? I don't know. Well, someone's gonna have to figure that one out for me and break it down, because to this day I can't figure that out. Well, we're here to present another proposition to the Joint College of African American Bishops. To you I say, despite your claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not an evangelical reformation, since it maintains the Romish Anglican status quo. Again, let me repeat it for the benefit of the members of the Joint College of Asinine Heehawing Bishops. Let me repeat the proposition. Proposition number 23 goes like this. Despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not an evangelical reformation, since it maintains the Romish Anglican status quo. Well, what does all of this mean? Well, when I listen, and I've listened to extensive video from the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops, they keep referring to themselves as, and they keep saying, our reformation. They keep saying that. So let me prove it to you. Let me prove it to you that they use that term, our reformation. Here it is. This is the video that's online on YouTube. It's the Lexi Show. The video is called Illegitimate Bishops. And I am starting the video at the 12-minute, 32-second mark. The 12-minute, 32-second mark. And this is Bishop Jerry Hutchins, who I have been inviting for a long time. I have been extending this man an invitation to debate me for a long time, but to no avail. So here he is. He's one of three people on the platform sitting with Lexi Allen. Lexi Allen had this broadcast. She ran this broadcast on the Word Network. The Word Network, which is not the Word of God. It's the Word of man. It's the Word of Satan. It's a combination of doctrines of men and doctrines of demons. But on the Word Network, Sister Lexi Allen had this broadcast, and she did a show entitled Illegitimate Bishops. In this show, she features Paul Sylvester Morton, who happens to be one of the four men who founded the Joint College of African American Bishops. He's one of the four men. According to the book, The Bishopric, Creating a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African-American Pentecostal Church. According to the author, Paul Sylvester Morton, and I'll read it to you. It's chapter one in the book. The chapter is entitled, In the Beginning, The Need. It says, one late afternoon in the summer of 1994, four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office. While traveling, Archbishop Wilbert Sterling McKinley and Archbishop Roy Edmund Brown, both of Brooklyn, New York, along with Bishop J. Delano Ellis of Cleveland, Ohio, were discussing the need for providing assistance and training for the proliferated episcopacy within the African-American Pentecostal community. After After lengthy discussion, a telephone call was made to Bishop Paul Sylvester Morton of New Orleans, Louisiana. Bishop Morton expressed his desire to join with these men in forming this college, and Bishop Ellis was elected to preside over this venture. So this Paul Sylvester Morton is the guy on the platform in this broadcast with Lexi Allen. He's one of the four founders. The other bishop there with him is Lester Love. I mean, that sounds like, I mean, if you were a pimp back in my neighborhood and you had the name Lester Love, what's your name, brother? Lester Love. I mean, that's a perfect name for a pimp. That's a perfect name for a pimp. And then the other bishop, who is the one that's going to be speaking when I start the audio at 12 minutes and 32 seconds, the Bishop Jerry Hutchins. So here is Lexi and here is Jerry Hutchins. Let us listen, because he's going to talk about our Reformation.
The process to becoming a bishop.
Well, in our fellowship.
In your fellowship.
When a person is going to be considered to be a bishop.
Okay.
There are recommendations made by the regional bishop. Those recommendations go before the bishop's council, and then they enter training. Now, the training is about 40 hours of intense training, where we cover everything from the origination of the bishop, where it all came from biblically, through Catholicism, on through even full gospel.
Okay.
We talk about the bishop and his theology. We study doctrinal things, soteriology, pneumatology. We study all of those different ologies,
mm-hmm.
so that the bishop, because one of the roles of a bishop is to be able to rightly divide and rightly teach those that he oversees.
Okay.
We call it, in the Latin word, is inquisitor nator, a defender of the faith.
Hmm.
And if a bishop cannot defend the faith, theologically,
yeah.
then he really does not need to be a bishop.
Bishop Lexi, how quick did you get your papers?
Oh, really quick. I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't have any ologies. I'm lost.
Now, that 18-month period that you're referring
yes.
to,
yes.
if a person joins our fellowship from another Reformation,
mm-hmm.
18 months, we scrutinize
okay.
that person to see that they have gone through proper consecration.
Because they could be a bishop in another Reformation,
they
right?
Could
they
been
could
be a bishop in another Reformation.
But
you hear how you hear the word Reformation coming up? So the Joint College of African American Bishops is a Reformation. It's a Reformation, but they're not a Reformation. They're not a Reformation in the sense that you and I think of a Reformation. Let me play this again. I want you to hear how they toss the word around. The word that we're looking for is Reformation.
We are different physically, man and woman. We're different mentally. We think.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't have any ologies. I'm lost.
Now, that 18-month period that you're referring
yes.
to,
yes.
if a person joins our fellowship from another Reformation.
If a person joins our fellowship from another Reformation.
Mm-hmm.
18 months, we scrutinize
okay.
that person to see that they have gone through proper consecration.
Because they could be a bishop in another Reformation,
they
right?
Could have
they
been
could
be a bishop in another Reformation.
But you do what? They come to you and say, "Yes, I, you know, got my, you know, bishopric." Is that what you call it?
We're gonna observe that you are doing the work.
Reformation. They're from another Reformation. Well, they have redefined the word. Because in a church history context, those of us, when you hear the word Reformation, you think of the Protestant Reformation. Think about it, folks. If you were to ask 100 church people. What do you equate the Reformation with? If you were to say, when we say the word Reformation, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? They'll say Martin Luther, the Protestant Reformation, the 95 Theses. Any sane person, any student of church history, any so-called bishop will say, yeah, we're talking about the Protestant Reformation. So, for example, let me take you to the Oxford Dictionary. The Oxford Dictionary. And Reformation, what does it mean? What does it mean? Well, the Oxford Dictionary here, as the first definition for the word Reformation, has one. It's a noun. One, the action or process of reforming. The action or process of reforming. Number two, when you think of Reformation, it is a 16th century movement for the reform of the Roman Catholic Church, ending in the establishment of the Reform and Protestant churches. Let me read that again. That's why I love dictionaries. That's why I have a massive library. I like to look things up. I don't like it when people redefine words. Do you know that that is a satanic practice? God defines something, and Satan's always in the habit of redefining what God defines. And there are people who like to revise history. They revise history to hide things. That's why they revise history. They're called revisionist. Something happened some way, and here comes the revisionist and rewrites it so as to mislead the readers of history. Well, again, the Oxford Dictionary gives us two main definitions for the word Reformation. The word Reformation is a noun. A noun is a person, place, or thing. As a thing, this is what the Reformation is. Number one, the action or process of reforming. The action or process of reforming. Number two, the Reformation is a 16th century movement to do what? To reform. Who are we reforming? The Roman Catholic Church. Ending with the establishment of the Reformed and Protestant churches. So what happened? So what happened, my dear brothers and sisters? What happened? Well, the Roman Catholic Church was rife with malpractices and abuses. The Roman Catholic Church, the great harlot church of Revelation 17, back in the 16th century, was rife with abuses and malpractices. And from within, certain men rose up to reform her, to change her for the better. To reform something is to get rid of the bad and restore the good. Well, these men discovered that the Roman Catholic Church could not be reformed. Just like you will discover that Satan can never be reformed. He's called Leviathan. Leviathan is the crooked serpent, the twisted serpent. That serpent, that creature, that being is so twisted. He is twisted. The devil is he's a twisted foe. He has a twisted mind. He has a twisted sense of humor. He has a twisted plan for you and me. That's why snakes are called sidewinders. Sidewinders. You see the language, my dear brothers and sisters? A sidewinder. So, here you have the Roman Catholic Church, which is the, listen, it's the baby. It's Satan gave birth to the Roman Catholic Church. She is as twisted as he is. And men from within tried to reform, and they discovered that they couldn't. So they left. And when they left, they started a group of churches called the Reformed Church. Others went by the name the Protestant Church. The Reformed or Protestant. Again, let me read it to you from the Oxford Dictionary. What is Reformation? A 16th century movement for the reform of the Roman Catholic Church, ending in the establishment of the Reformed and Protestant churches. Why? It ended in a split because these men realized that the Pope and the Cardinals and those who were in power were completely controlled by Satan, and the church could not be reformed. It could not. The thing was so twisted. It could not be fixed. So they left, and they started the reform and Protestant churches. So now, this guy, Jerry Hutchins, this other guy, Lester Love, this other guy, Paul Sylvester Morton, who are all members of the Joint College of African American Bishops, which, by the way, Paul Sylvester Morton is one of the four founding members. You can't forget that. Well, yesterday I played audio for you, where Paul Sylvester Morton can trace his bishopric back to Pius XI. Who was Pius XI? Well, he was the Pope who was in Hitler's pocket. That's right, Pius XI. Him and Hitler made some phenomenal deals. And Hitler, in joining up with Mussolini from Italy, also had to join up with the Pope. And Hitler promised, well, I will never come against the Vatican. And so the Pope covered for Hitler. And Hitler covered for the Pope. So Paul Sylvester Morton, the guy sitting up here in this video, he can trace his bishopric back to Pope Pius XI, who ended his reign as Pope in the year 1939. And that's their claim to fame, that they can trace their bishopric back to the Roman Catholic. Here it is. Because I want you to see that they don't hide the fact. In fact, they boast of the fact that you can trace their bishopric back to Rome. Let's listen.
Because the work precedes the office.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not doing the work, then we're not just going to accept the fact that you were consecrated by some other reformation.
See? Again, the use of the word reformation. Now, you would think when he says reformation that they belong to the Reformed Church or the Protestant churches. But that's not the case. No, they don't belong to Reformed. They don't belong to any of the Reformed churches, any of the historical Reformed churches, and they don't belong to any of the historical Protestant churches. No. Listen.
We want to see for 18 months that you're doing the work, that you're participating with us in doing the work,
mm-hmm.
and then after that 18-month period, we're going to confirm that you were legitimately consecrated.
And what do you mean by legitimately?
Here you go. Watch this.
That means that you can trace your apostolic succession back to the original apostles. In our Reformation, we trace our
succession. In our Reformation.
Succession. Back to the Apostle Peter.
All the way back. So this person laid hands on you, and that person got laid hands on and was consecrated by this person, and you
exactly.
can trace it back.
We trace our consecration back through the Apostle
Peter.
Oh, wow. It's called apostolic succession.
Wow.
And even when Bishop Morton,
See how he changed the subject? He was going to talk about Bishop Morton, but he changed the subject. because he didn't want to mention that he was ordained or he can trace his bishopric back to Pope Pius. Now, here it is again. Here it is. Listen to this. From the start now.
A bishop.
Well, in our fellowship.
In your fellowship.
When a person is going to be considered to be a bishop.
Okay.
There are recommendations made by the regional bishop. Those recommendations go before the bishop's council, and then they enter training. Now, the training is about 40 hours of intense training, where we cover everything from the
40 hours of intense training means diploma mill. That's what 40 hours of intense training means. Diploma mill.
Origination of the bishop, where it all came from, biblically, through Catholicism,
through Catholicism. Why did they take you through Catholicism? If they claim to be a Reformation, and a Reformation was brought to the Roman Catholic Church, according to the Oxford Dictionary, and according to any other legitimate dictionary, not tampered by the revisionists, will tell you that the Reformation was a movement to reform the Roman Catholic Church in the 16th. So why is this guy looking for or teaching apostolic succession and the bishopric according to Rome? You see how they lie? You see how they use the word Reformation, but they're really not a Reformation? They're not a Reformation, they're an infiltration. They're Roman agents who have infiltrated the black church. They're not a Reformation, they're an infiltration.
To be a bishop.
Okay.
There are recommendations made by the regional bishop. Those recommendations go before the bishop's council, and then they enter training. Now, the training is about 40 hours of intense training, where we cover everything from the origination of the bishop, where it all came from, biblically, through Catholicism, on through even full gospel.
You see, the origination of the bishopric and how it flowed through Catholicism, and then how it came to their organization, which is full gospel.
We talk about the bishop and his theology. We studied doctrinal things, soteriology, pneumatology. We studied all of those different ologies so that the bishop, because one of the roles of a bishop is to be able to rightly divide and rightly teach those that he oversees.
Okay.
We call it, in the Latin word, is inquisitor nator, a defender of the faith. And if a bishop cannot defend the faith theologically, then he really does not need to be a bishop.
Bishop Lexi, how quick did you get your papers?
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't have any ologies. I'm lost.
Now, that 18-month period that you're referring to, if a person joins our fellowship from another Reformation, 18...
What Reformation could that be? What Reformation could that be?
Months, we scrutinize that person to see that they have gone through proper consecration.
Because they could be a bishop in another Reformation,
they
right?
Could have
they
been
could
be a bishop in another Reformation.
But you do what? They come to you and say, "Yes, I, you know, got my, you know, bishop."
Well, they cannot be bishops from another Reformation because the Protestant churches and the Reformed churches don't have bishops. See, the Protestant churches and the Reformed churches don't have bishops. Now, don't include the Anglican Church in the Protestant Church. The Anglican Church is not Protestant. The Anglican Church calls itself La Via Media. The Anglican Church, you look it up, you Google it. You Google the Anglican Church, and they love the fact that they call themselves the Via Media. You know what that means? Middle road, middle ground. middle ground. So they're not Protestant and they're not Catholic. They're in the middle, and they take from both. They take from both. Now, what happens when you mix antifreeze and water and you drink it? What happens? You don't drink everything that the Roman Catholic Church is serving up. You don't drink the whole gallon of antifreeze, but what you do is you take half of the antifreeze and you take half of the water and you drink that. Well, guess what, buddy? You're going to kick the bucket. Go to any auto supply store, go to Walmart, get yourself a jug of antifreeze. Go home and mix it. Take half of the antifreeze out, put it in a drum, fill the other half with water, and drink it. And you tell me what happens to you. Tell me what happens. Well, you won't be able to tell me what happens because you're going to die. You're going to die. That's what's going to happen. So that's what's happened to the Anglican Church. The Anglican Church prides itself in being the Via Mezza, the road in the middle, the fence sitters. They don't want to tick the Roman Catholic Church off, and they don't want to tick the Protestants off. So they're like a lover with two boyfriends. Well, if you know anything about love triangles end badly. They end badly. God will not have us involved in love triangles. The Lord says you can't love God and you can't love mammon. There are no love triangles with the Lord. You can't be in love with God and be in love with mammon. But the Anglican Church. So there is no Protestant church or Reformed church that has bishops. There is none. So when they use the term Reformation, they have distorted the term because the devil distorts everything. The devil redefines everything. Here it is again.
Eschatology, we study all of those different ologies, mm-hmm. so that the bishop, because one of the roles of a bishop is to be able to rightly divide and rightly teach those that he oversees.
So why don't you call the broadcast? You're a member of the Joint College of Bishops. You like to spew Latin words. You love that little phrase of yours, inquisitor nator. Why don't you call the broadcast? Why don't we talk on the air? Jerry Hutchins.
We call it, in the Latin word, is inquisitor nator, a defender of the faith. And if a
this guy is comical. I'm telling you, it's a hee-hawing jackass. That's what you're hearing, a hee-hawing jackass.
Bishop cannot defend the faith theologically.
Yeah.
Then he really does not need to be a bishop.
Thank you. Get rid of all of them. Because they can't call the broadcast. They can't defend the faith.
Bishop Lexi, how quick did you get your papers?
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't have ideologies. I'm lost.
Now, that 18-month period that you're referring
yes.
to,
yes.
if a person joins our fellowship from another Reformation,
mm-hmm.
18.
And what possible Reformation could that be? Because there are no bishops in another Reformation. There are none. Because the Reformed Church and the Protestant Church does not have bishops. And again, don't quote the Anglican Church. The Anglican Church will tell you. We are the Via Mezza Church. We are.
Months, we scrutinize
okay.
that person to see that they have gone through proper consecration.
Because they could be a bishop in another Reformation, right?
What possible Reformation could that be, Sister Lexi? What possible reformation?
A Denner bishop and another reformation.
But you do what? They come to you and say, yes, I you know, got my, you know, bishopric, is that what you call it?
We're going to observe that you are doing the work, mm-hmm. because the work precedes the office.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not doing the work, then we're not just going to accept the fact that you were consecrated by some other reformation. We want to see for 18 months that you're doing the work, that you're participating with us in doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that 18-month period, we're going to confirm that you were legitimately consecrated.
And what do you mean by legitimately?
That means that you can trace your apostolic succession back to the original apostles. In our Reformation, we trace our succession.
In our Reformation. Well, none of the Reformed churches and none of the Protestant churches in their creeds, they abhor apostolic succession. They call it a fantasy. They call it a myth. They call it a fable. Apostolic succession is a fable. It's one of Satan's lies. So when this guy says in our Reformation, we can trace ourselves back to the Apostle Peter, here it is again.
You do what? They come to you and say, yes, I you know, got my, you know, bishopric, is that what you call it?
We're going to observe that you are doing the work, mm-hmm. because the work precedes the office. Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not doing the work, then we're not just going to accept the fact that you were consecrated by some other reformation. We want to see for 18 months that you're doing the work, that you're participating with us in doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that 18-month period, we're going to confirm that you were legitimately consecrated.
And what do you mean by legitimately?
That means that you can trace your apostolic succession back to the original apostles. In our Reformation, we trace our succession back to the Apostle Peter.
All the way back?
All the way back.
Mm-hmm. So this person laid hands on you, and that person got laid hands on and was consecrated by this person, and you
exactly.
can trace it back.
We trace mm-hmm. our consecration mm-hmm. back through the Apostle
Peter.
Oh, wow. Called apostolic succession.
Wow.
And even when Bishop Morton, because
a fairy tale. It's all a fairy tale. It's all a fairy. That's why Mr. Hutchins won't call the broadcast, because I'll take him to the woodshed. I'll give him the spanking he deserves. Because here's the thing, folks. Here's the thing. If I was to say to you, there was a bad kid, and his parents sent him to a reformatory. A reformatory is another word for reform school. Now, they no longer have reform schools. In this politically correct society that we live in, they've eliminated the reform schools. But when I was a kid, if you did not want to behave yourself, if you did not want to act like a human being, if you had animalistic tendencies, if you were out of control, if you were a thug, if you were a class clown, if you were a hoodlum, they would send you to reform school. And what was the goal of the reform school? To straighten you out. Now, years ago, they tried to do this with kids who were troubled in society, and they had a television program called Scared Straight. Scared Straight. Where they would take kids who were out of control, and they would send them to a jail and try to put the fear of God in them by showing them, you know, I mean, they were young teenagers. They were 13 and 14 and 15. And here they are being sent to a maximum security prison with all of these hardcore criminals. And they scared these kids to death in hopes that they could reform them or straighten them out. Now, here is the bishop, Jerry Hutchins, the bishop, Lester Love, the bishop, Paul Sylvester Morton. And they're telling us, that they're behaving themselves now. They've, because look, folks, when I say that I'm reformed in my theology, or when I say that I'm a member of the Protestant church, it means that I belong to that group of people who would not allow abuses or malpractices or evil in the church. I belong to a church where evil and malpractices and abuses and pedophilia among the ministers is not accepted. We are members of the Protestant church. And the moment somebody gets out of line, we start screaming. We start protesting. We do. Have you ever been on a farm with geese? On our farm, we had white geese. My wife had about 12 white geese. And my wife would say, okay, go get the geese eggs. Go, you know, because the geese are laying eggs. Go get the eggs. So I would go in there. Now, as soon as I got into the pen that had the geese, which was a quarter of an acre, as soon as they saw me, all of the geese would start cackling. And they would band together. I mean, they would all come together. They would form a line of defense. And I, with my long stick, I would try to shoo them away because they would attack you. First of all, they sound the alarm. They start protesting. And then I would kneel down in the egg box and grab the eggs, and at the same time fearing for my life because the geese were protesters. They're vicious. They come at you. They chase you. Turn your back on a group of geese and they'll chase you. Now, that's the way it is in the Protestant church. You get out of line, you try to steal something in the Protestant church, you try to take some eggs. And by the way, in the 16th century, one of the abuses that they were trying to correct was a thing called simony. Simony. The selling of spiritual things, the selling of bishoprics. Bishoprics were sold to the highest bidder. You could become pope if you had the money. They would sell you the office of the pontificate. They would sell it to you. How many popes bought their popery? How many popes bought the throne? How many cardinals? How many archbishops bought their bishoprics? It's called simony. Church offices were sold to the highest bidder. And then when the pope sold you an office, then you were to give him the first fruits. The first year of all the revenues in that diocese went to the pope. And then the pope got in the habit of switching bishops around. This way, because let's say if I was the bishop of Michigan and the pope had just sent me there, well, he would get the first year first fruits, the first, because he gave me the position. Okay, so he'll get the first fruits. After that, it's all mine. Well, not really, because then 2 years or 3 years down the road, the pope will send you somewhere else, and what he would do is put somebody in your place where you were, and again, the pope would get the first fruits from there, because he just put that new person, had to give him new first fruits. And then wherever he sent you, you had to give him first fruits from that place. So it was a racket. It was out of control. The selling of bishoprics. Now hear this guy saying, we're reformed. But they are still part of the criminal enterprise. You went to reform school, but you're still a thug? You claim to have graduated from the reformatory, and you're still as crooked as when you went in? You're still claiming association with the Roman Catholic Church? With the religious mafia? Because that's what the Roman Catholic Church is. It's a religious mafia. So here you are claiming that you are a reformation, claiming that your wicked past is behind you, and that now you're part of the Protestant churches, you're part of the Reformed churches, the churches who, because Rome would not mend her ways, they said, you know what, since you won't mend your ways, we're hightailing it out of here. We're splitting because we want to serve God. You want to serve the devil, Rome? Go ahead and serve the devil. But we're going to serve God, and we're going to call ourselves the Reformed churches. This way people know that there is a difference, that we are light, your darkness, that we serve God, but you serve Satan, that we love Scripture and Scripture alone, and you're into canon law. We're out of here. Now, this guy claims, he claims to be a Reformation. But as you can see, my brothers and sisters, as you can see, my dear brothers and sisters, despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not an evangelical Reformation, since it maintains the Romish Anglican status quo. Now, what is this? What does status quo mean? What does that Latin phrase mean? What does Latin quo means? Well, this is what it means. Status quo comes to us, status quo is a Latin phrase, but it's an abbreviated phrase. It's a shortened phrase of the original. See, status quo is just like, let's say her name is Susan or Susanna. And her short name is Sue. Or let's say his name is Michael. But his short name is Mike. Well, status quo is short. Status quo is short. It's short for a long Latin phrase. And this is the original Latin phrase. In statu quo res erant ante bellum. Let me repeat it again. This is the entire Latin phrase. In statu quo, that's the nickname, what's missing is es erant ante bellum. Now, when you put the whole phrase together, this is what it means. In the state in which things were before the war. In the state in which things were before the war. So when you say status quo, I counseled this kid. I helped this kid. I spent 40 hours counseling him. But when you look at him, he's the same as he was when I first got him. Nothing's changed. So when we say status quo, or when we use the lengthened phrase in statu quo res erant ante bellum, what we're saying is, you know, there was a fight within the Roman Catholic Church. There was a fight. But things are the same as they were before the war. In other words, the church is going on today as though there was never a Reformation. That's what it means, you know, because the Reformation was a war. Luther was fighting the Pope, and Luther was using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to contend against the Pope. When the dust settled, you didn't have one unified Roman Catholic Church. What did you have? You had the Lutheran Church. You had the Reformed Church. You had the Protestant churches. I mean, there were divisions. Nothing remained the same. But notice, these black guys, these black fellas, these so-called bishops, they claim that they're part of the evangelical Reformation. But how can that be? How can it be if they are maintaining the Romish Anglican status quo before the Reformation of the 16th century? It's like the Reformation never took place. These guys are in bed. Bishop Paul Sylvester Morton, Bishop Lester Love, Bishop Jerry Hutchins, they're in bed with Rome. They're in bed with the Harlot Church. They dress like the Harlot Church. They have the outfits of the Harlot Church. They're in bed. It's like they never left. And they're saying, oh, when people join our Reformation, what Reformation are you talking about? You never went to reform school. You never saw the inside of a reformatory. You're as wicked and as deceptive as they come. What Reformation are you talking about? What in the world are you talking about? There's no evangelical Reformation in you. You don't even preach Christ. In joining up with Rome, Rome doesn't preach Christ. Rome does not preach Christ. It preaches everything but Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, despite its claim, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not an evangelical reformation. Why? Well, it maintains the Romish Anglican status quo. It's like the Protestant Reformation never happened. It's like it never happened. Again, remember that the long phrase in Latin, the short phrase is in statu quo. That's the short phrase. But the long phrase, in statu quo res erant ante bellum, now, you see, that's a horse of a different color. And that means the state in which things were before the war or before Martin Luther nailed the 95 thesis on the door of Wittenberg Castle Church. Nothing's changed. So they may claim to be a Reformation. They may claim to be a Reformation, but they're not a Reformation. They're not a Reformation. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And we want to look at Matthew chapter 10, and this chapter has to do with Christ ordaining his disciples to be his apostles. Now, let me read Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. It says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And the name of the 12 apostles are these. Now notice, there's no mention of a college. It says these were his disciples. And when he ordained them, they went from disciples to apostles. Now, in verse number 5 it says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 16. So jump down to verse 16 with me. We want to start reading where it says, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. That's where we want to start. So let's listen.
Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it.
These are the words of Jesus to future protesters. He is sending his disciples as lambs among wolves. He is sending his disciples to preach the gospel. But the gospel rubs people the wrong way. Why? Because the gospel points out men's sins. Just like when Luther was pointing out the sins of the Pope and of the cardinals and of the archbishops. And Luther was preaching the word of God. And he was preaching it, and it's like Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but what? A sword. Luther was using the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Now, you have a sword. What is it for? It's to do battle. It's to do battle. And when you do, listen, folks, when people go to war, what is the purpose of war? To change things. Hitler went to war. Hitler went because he wanted to change things. Then the Allies went to war with Hitler because they didn't like the way he was changing things, so they were opposing his changes. When Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword, in other words, Jesus says, we're declaring war on sin, we're declaring war on death, we're declaring war on sickness, we're declaring war on Satan. We're here to oppose him. It's called spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare has to do with contending for the faith. Now, most of these dopey people in these spiritual warfare conferences will have you bind the devil and bind this demon. No, it's not about binding the devil. It's dealing with the heretic that's in the same conference you're in. You're looking for some invisible being so that you can bind him in the name of Jesus, which is completely asinine, for there's no scriptural warrant for that. Meanwhile, you're in a spiritual warfare conference looking to fight demons when there's a heretic right at the conference that you ought to be battling with. Because that heretic wants to change the face of the church. And you must do battle with him because he may have caused an altering change and you have to reverse that change, and that is called reformation. Called reformation. So these guys claim, they claim to be a reformation. But they are doing what? They are maintaining the status quo. They are, in other words, they are bringing the church back. They are bringing the church back to the time before Luther and Wycliffe and Huss. And they're bringing the church back to a time where everybody conformed and no one said anything and there were no protesters. And you see, when they say we're part of a reformation, well, what are they fixing? They're not fixing anything. They're not correcting abuses. In fact, they're perpetrating abuses. They're prolonging the abuse. They are part of the abuse. My dear brothers and sisters, these guys are liars. And they are, as Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, for your father lieth from the beginning. There's no truth in him. So Jesus said here in John 10, I did not come to bring peace on earth, but I came to bring a sword. I came to bring a sword. I came to bring reformation. I came here to produce change. Because when you go to war, the purpose of going to war is to cause change. Now, there are many who start wars and who are evil, like Hitler. And we don't want his monstrous changes. We don't want his demonic changes. Because Hitler will enslave people. He will arrest people. He will gas people. He will kill people. No, we don't want that change. We want changes for the better. So when these guys say, this is our reformation, well, they have not been part of anything that is biblical. They have redefined the term reformation. Because again, if I have a problem son and I send him to a reform school and you have a problem child and you send him to the same reform school, and if 50 people have bad kids and we send our children to that reform school, well, we're expecting that when we get the child back 3 years later, the kid is straightened out. But if they give him back to us, if they give all of our children back to us, and they're sons of the devil when we get them back, then we're going to have to write to the county, we're going to have to write to the political officials, and we're going to have to say to them, change the name of the school. It's not a reform school. They don't straighten anybody out. They don't. And you know, when you send kids to a reform school, you know who declares war on those kids? The teachers, the administrators. What are they declaring war on? Their evil intent, their evil machinations, their evil ways. That's what you. That's what I mean. That's what a prison warden does. When people are sent to prison, the prison warden and those inside the prison, their objective is to do what? To rehabilitate a person so that when they enter, when they re-enter society, if that's what the parole board decides, when they re-enter society, they have been rehabilitated. So if a reform school is not functioning like a reform school, but it's operating like a pit of hell, in which it breeds vipers, then let's change the name and let's just call it Den of Vipers School, not Reform School. So these guys here, Jerry Hutchins and Lester Love and Paul Sylvester Morton, they claim to be a Reformation. Is it any wonder now? Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that the homosexual spirit that is prevalent in the Roman Catholic Church is now within the black church? Don't you see that they've been, that something has been transferred? Don't you see that whatever the Roman Catholic Church sends someone's way, it's all evil? They're not a Reformation. How can they be? How can they be a Reformation when they maintain the same attitude as the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Church? And both those churches are dead. They're dead. And what do you think is going to happen to the black church? It's going to die. It's going to die. It will die. But they're not a Reformation. Why? Because they're maintaining things as they are before the Reformation ever occurred. It's like they entered into a time machine and they went back in time and they are functioning as the Roman Catholic Church did long before Huss and Wycliffe and Luther. So say what they may, but we have proven them by sound argument that they are not a Reformation. They are not a Reformation. They are an infiltration. They are what Peter said, in the last days shall men creep in unawares and shall bring in damnable heresies. Well, saints, that does it for today. That does it for today. And I kept looking at the screen in hopes that maybe Jerry Hutchins would call in the broadcast, or Paul Sylvester Morton, or even the Lester Love. But no one's called in. No one's called in. Well, saints, we'll leave it there. I'll be back tomorrow with a follow-up on this same topic. A follow-up on this same topic. Love you in Jesus. Don't forget this Friday. Don't forget, and tell others about what's coming down this Friday. You don't want to miss part two. And if you miss part one, you can remedy that by going to Block Talk Radio, Reformation News, and clicking on the part one of Satan's End Time Army, the Jesuits. Click on that and you can listen to the entire program that was aired last Friday and get other people to listen this Friday. God bless you.